I invite you to turn in our Father's Word this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're teaching through the Word of God, as always, word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. And we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read beginning in verse 9. Some of this is repetitive, but it's repetitive for a reason. Beginning in verse 9 through the rest of the chapter, which is verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, reading through verse 16. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of his word. The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word given to us by God has a divine purpose. That's why we study the Bible, and that's why we study it here at Glendale, word by word, verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph, chapter by chapter, book by book. However, that being said, we have to understand that we have to have the capacity, the spiritual capacity, to understand it. And that may not be the case. We said last time, remember, that when God fashioned Adam and Eve, He made them body, soul, and human spirit. Body, soul, psuche, and human spirit, pneuma. The soul was designed by God to be earthy. That is, it was designed by God to operate on planet Earth. Our mind, emotion, and will operating in this realm. Time and space history. However, the human spirit, on the other hand, is that invisible part of us that connects us to God. It is on a spiritual plane. It is a heavenly plane, not an earthly plane. So we're made body, soul, earthy, and human spirit, heavenly. When Adam sinned and fell, his human spirit died. That is, his connection to God was broken. He could no longer fellowship with God. He could no longer understand the things of God. He had a serious spiritual problem. He no longer had the capacity to understand spiritual phenomena. If he were living today, he could read the words of this book, the Bible, but he could not understand it. They would be just words, nouns and adjectives and adverbs and participles and infinitives and prepositions and prepositional phrases, but he couldn't understand it. There would be no meaning to it. I mean, he could pronounce the words, he could read the words, but he couldn't understand the words, spiritually speaking, as being words from the mind of God. because he lost his capacity to understand the Word of God. That's why it was necessary for man to be, here it is, born again. That's not just a phrase that comes out of the mouth of these old country preachers out in the country who say, you know, you must be born again. That is the truth. It's called regeneration. That which is dead must be made alive. That which has been spiritually broken must be repaired. That human spirit must be made alive. Here's the issue. Only God can make it alive. That's why the illustration all through the Gospels of Jesus raising the dead, because only God can give life to the dead. Only God can put that human spirit back together again. Only God can give man life. Here's the process. We hear the gospel, and then God gives us as a gift the faith to place in Jesus Christ, and we do that. We trust Him. At a moment of time, we trust Him. We put our confidence in Him. Well, when we do that, something amazing happens. We're regenerated. We're born again. Now we are given the capacity to understand the things of the Spirit of God. We're given the capacity to understand the Bible. Before, no capacity. Before, we're spiritually out like a light. Before, we cannot hear it. Before, we cannot even hear the gospel. Before, we cannot understand the gospel. Before, we cannot hear the teaching of the Word of God, the truths of Scripture. They make no sense to us. But after we're regenerated, after God the Holy Spirit indwells us, our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. After we're placed into the body of Christ, baptism of the Holy Spirit. After we're sealed in Him forever by the Holy Spirit. After we're equipped by the Holy Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit. Then we're given the capacity to understand the Bible. It makes sense to us. And God the Holy Spirit can begin to use it to transform our life. It begins to change our thinking. It even changes our thinking about church. Those things that we once hated, we begin to love. And those people that we once totally misunderstood, we begin to understand them. And all of a sudden, God gets big to us. In fact, He gets so big that it overwhelms us. And many of us are propelled into the mission field. Many of us are compelled to begin to teach the Word of God because of this truth. So it's not, regeneration is not optional. Being born again is not optional. It's imperative if we're ever to understand the Word of God. Now, wait a minute. Keep in mind, even though we're not born again, we still have an intact human soul. We can operate very well in this world. We can operate very well in time and space. Our mind still works. Our emotion still works. Our human will still work, but they work in the human realm. We can still receive the greatest education possible. We can still go to college and get a PhD. We can still become a professional in whatever it is that we want to do or be. We can still understand human phenomenon of every kind. We just cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. We're totally void of that. So, that brings us to our passage. And I pray that you will understand that every word in this book is put there by God's divine design. He didn't waste one little word, not one little in or nor or for or and. It's all in there by His design. People ask me a lot, why do you teach the Bible the way you do? I say, because that's the way God wrote it. Why not? That's the way He brought it down to us. It has a divine energy and it begins to teach us about God. And listen to me carefully. There is nothing, not psychiatry, not psychology, not education that can change or transform our life like this book. But let's have prayer together first. Father, would you open to our thinking your word? We know it's a spiritual book and we know that it has to be taught spiritually. We know that the Spirit of God has to teach our human spirits. Those human spirits that have been made alive by our faith in Jesus Christ, your living word. If our spirits have not been made alive, we cannot make sense of it. It will not communicate. And it can't even begin to change our life. Oh, but Father, for those of us who have been regenerated, we have been saved, we have been given life, it becomes our resource for life. It becomes life-giving truth, and it can change us. And I pray to that end in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this truth, first of all, doesn't come through our sense perceptions. Look at it. He says in verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen. That is, our human eyes can't see this truth. We don't get it through the eye gate. Our human sight doesn't do any good here. We're in an invisible realm of God. God has to make the invisible visible, right? What about our human ears? Look, nor ear heard. This truth doesn't come to us through the ear gate. It doesn't come to us through some dynamic preacher. No matter how good of a communicator he is, we can't get it. We can't understand it. It won't communicate. It won't. We have no understanding at all. Now watch. Nor ear heard, look in verse 3, or in the same verse, but the third point. Nor have entered into the heart of man. This truth is not rehashed human truth that's been in our mind all along. That's called rationalism. This is brand new truth coming from the pen of God, coming from the mind of God. It is not old rehashed human truth that we got coming growing up and we received it through our educational system. No, it's new. These thoughts have never entered our mind before. They come from the mind of God. The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. That's a whole world of information, folks. The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. That is a whole realm of spiritual education. That goes back to who God is, His character. That goes back to the identity of Jesus Christ, who He is. In reality, who He is, the God-man. And all of His work and what it means. Those are those words that we have come to love. Justification and redemption and reconciliation and propitiation. Those words that have tremendous meaning to us because they're biblical words. And they reveal to us the worth of Calvary's cross. What Jesus accomplished when He died and when He rose from the dead. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we've already talked about. His regenerating work, His indwelling work, His baptizing work. His sealing work, equipping work, teaching work, filling work. All of this truth that teaches us the mind of God and that's used by God ultimately to change us. Those are the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But look in verse 10. But God has, watch this, here's the word, revealed. If you have a pen or a pencil, you need to circle that in your Bible. He's revealed that to us. He has revealed them to us. That's called revelation. God has revealed His mind to us. God has revealed to us those things which He has prepared for us. Notice how they're revealed. Through His Spirit. Now remember, we have the Spirit of God living in us. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you might say, well, I don't feel Him, but He's there. In fact, you can know He's there if you've ever understood anything from God's Word. If God's Word has ever jumped alive to you, that is, you say, I see that. That makes sense to me. I understand that. Then what happened was God the Holy Spirit taught your human spirit. That is, that human spirit that's now alive. The living Word of God. He opened His truth up to you. Before you didn't know it, now you know it. Before you couldn't understand it, now you understand it. That's an amazing phenomenon. This is all spiritual. Look, it says, because for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. That is, those deep things of God that we long to know. And there is a lot of deep truth, isn't it? Since we've been here in the years we've been here, you have been exposed to a lot of deep truth. But I also realize that that deep truth for many of you has become a spiritual revival in your heart. Because that God that had grown small in your thinking is now big. And He's an awesome God. And many of your minds have been renewed. You have been spiritually strengthened and equipped. And you feel compelled now to serve Him. Look in verse 11. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Boy, I'm glad that's true. No one knows you like you. In fact, there are things hidden in your mind, men, that even your wife may not know. Same is true with the wife. The deep thoughts, they're in there. The secret hidden thoughts of a man is known only by the person. Even so, he says in verse 11, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Who knows God? God knows God. God the Spirit knows God the Father. God the Spirit knows God the Son. God the Spirit knows the thoughts of God. Just like we know our human thoughts, God the Spirit knows the thoughts of God. So who alone can reveal the thoughts of God? The Spirit of God. He alone can communicate the wisdom and the mind of God. Now we have received, verse 12, back in verse 10, but God has revealed, now we have received, verse 12. God has revealed, now we received. God revealed His Word. God revealed His mind. Now we have received His Word. We have received His mind. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Now watch this. Look up here just a minute. Amazing truth. But it is true. The God who created us lives within us. Has that ever dawned on you that the God who fashioned you lives inside of you? That the God who spoke this world into existence lives inside of you? That this God who is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent lives inside of you? I've never gotten beyond that. God the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I want to say, little old me, sinful though I am, He lives inside of me. And listen to this carefully. He has given me the capacity to understand the things of the Spirit of God. He has given me the divine energy necessary to understand the things of the Spirit of God. I can know the Word of God because He teaches me the Word of God. That's exactly what He says. Look, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We can know them. I hope you never get over that. I've never gotten beyond that. When I think about God, my mind just absolutely, I have to kick out the sides because I can't put my arms around Him. He is so far above me. He's infinite. He's so immense. He's so boundless. I cannot comprehend Him. He always existed. There never was a time when He was not. And as I said often, He spoke this universe into being. He called it to be. By His spoken word. He said, let it be, and it was. He's all powerful. He's everywhere present, and He never changes. He is an incomprehensible God, and yet He teaches me His mind. And I want to say, what is man that you're mindful of him? I want to say, who am I, God, that you would communicate yourself to me? I'm a nobody. I'm dust. As Martin Luther wrote in one of his famous hymns, I'm just a worm. And that you would open your mind to me? That you would communicate your heart to me? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Look at verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Listen, human wisdom does no good. I like Bible colleges. I think they're necessary. I like seminaries. I think they're necessary. I want to get all the Greek and Hebrew I can get. And I've gotten all I could get. I filled up my mind till it was overflowing, long past my capacity to understand it. That is, I've been educated beyond my intelligence. However, that doesn't communicate to me God's wisdom. In fact, the most uneducated believer is wiser than the wisest unbeliever. Listen to what I'm saying. God called men and women to Himself in the ancient world who weren't educated. They were very weak. They were the slaves. They were the serfs. They were the nobodies. And He opened their minds to the truth of His wisdom. And they began to know Him, which is the chief end of man, to know God. Not what human wisdom teaches, not man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches. Watch this. Comparing spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. That's exactly what it says. Spiritual with spiritual. When we read this book, we read words on a page. They're just words. But God does something phenomenal. He does something amazing. He transfers these words into thoughts in our mind. And these thoughts reveal to us the wisdom of God. And He begins to communicate His mind to us through these words right here on a page. That is, these words are spiritually alive. They're living words. And they communicate God to us, and it opens to us in our mind a new world, a new realm. And it begins to motivate our thoughts. It begins to motivate what we do and how we treat each other. And it begins to motivate us to want to share the gospel with people. It motivates us to do things that are so foreign from our human minds. So foreign to our fallenness. It's an amazing transaction. God takes the human words. That's what happens. But here's where it breaks down. And this is what I want to show you. This is what I want to focus in just the last few minutes. It breaks down if we've not been regenerated. We don't have the capacity to understand it if we've not been regenerated. And here it is. Look in verse 14. There's a little word here. It's a contrast. It's the little word but. And you need to circle that. Because there are times when but just says, but. It's just kind of a, you know, normal, little simple contrast. Blah, blah, blah. This is not one of those times. This is one of those times when that little word just kind of reaches up and shouts to us. It's like it says, you know, from a Baptist preacher, but hold it. Stop a minute. This is a big contrast. He says, I've given you all this truth over here. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And the Holy Spirit teaches the human spirit the things of the Spirit of God. And we can know the mind of God. But the natural man, that's the psychikos man. That's the fleshly man. That's the man whose human spirit is still dead. That's the man who does not have the capacity to understand the things of God. That's the man who's still living in a fallen state. That's the man who's still affected by the fall of Adam. That's the man who still has the splinter of death in his soul. His human spirit is not alive. His human spirit is dead. That's the natural man. It's called simply the fleshly man. God divides the entire human race into two categories of people. And it's not categories of religion like Hindus or Muslims or Buddhists or Christians or, no, it's not male or female. The division is pretty clear there. It's not even what we would say saved or lost. That's a pretty clear division. Christian or non-Christian. Jesus said, he who believes on me or on him is not condemned. He who believes not is condemned already. That's a division. But he divides the human race into two categories of people. And here they are, the spiritual minded person and the fleshly minded person. And every person in this room, you're in one category or the other. Either your human spirit has been made alive because you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been born of God, or your human spirit is not alive. And you're still in the natural realm. You're still in that soulish realm. You have a mind, emotion, and will that works well in this life. It's earthy, but it's not heavenly. It's not spiritual. And as I said last week, no comprendo. I don't understand the things of the Spirit of God. I don't understand the Word of God. It's too deep for me. The Bible is too deep for me. God writes things in here too hard for me to understand. Look, he says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. That's negative. For they are foolishness to him. There are so many people in this community who think that what we do here is foolish. They do. That's Glendale Baptist Church. That's a weird group of people over there. Just a bunch of old gray-haired folks that meet together on Sunday, love each other's fellowship. We eat together. We sing together. What can they know about the living God? Foolish. Because the Word of God is foolishness to them. This whole thing that we are involved in called Christianity is foolishness to them. Nor, look at this word, can he know them? Now that word can implies ability. Given this illustration before, but if my children ask me, they say, Dad, when they were younger, of course, may I drive the car? Now the issue in that question wouldn't be their capacity to drive the car. Obviously, they thought they could, and I may think they can also drive the car. The issue is my permission. May they drive it? But if the question is, Dad, can I drive it? I say, hold it. Can implies ability. Either you can or you what? You can't. This applies ability. Watch this. It says, nor can he know them. That is, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't have the ability. Why? Because he's spiritually dead. His human spirit is not alive. And this doesn't make any difference what kind of preacher you get. They just sit there and listen. They say, I don't understand that. Could care less about it. It doesn't impact me one way or the other. Doesn't impress me. Who cares? Here's the reason. Because they are spiritually discerned. That word discerned is understood. They're spiritually understood. The things in this book have to be spiritually understood. They have to be taught by God the Holy Spirit to my human spirit. There has to be a transaction made somewhere in the process. I remember studying alone in my office in my younger years of Bible study. And I'd come across a passage that God would open to my mind. He would open to my living human spirit, and He would teach me something about Himself that really would begin to change my thoughts about Him. And ultimately, it changed my life. And I had to get up sometimes, Bruce, out of my office, and I'd have to get out in the hall by myself. Now, the hall is dark. Nobody's there. But I'm walking down the hall saying, God, that is so awesome. That is so mind-boggling. That is so incomprehensible. I cannot begin, because I'm seeing something about Him. He's opened up something about Him that's changing my life. And He began to put that truth in there time and time again. And one day I decided, you know what? I need to teach this book. I can't do anything else. I've got to teach this book. I've got to preach Your Word. Changed my life. That's what the Word does. That's what sermons supposedly are designed by God to do, is change our life. But look at the other contrast, verse 15. But he who is spiritual, he who is alive, he who is pneumatikos, that's the big word. He who has that living human spirit in him. The human being who has a living human spirit. He who is spiritual. Judges all things. That is, we can see life through God's eyes. We have discernment because we have the Word of God in our thinking. We have properly taken in God's Word. We have properly assimilated God's Word. We have categorized God's Word in our mind. It's begun to change our thinking. And now we can make judgments based on it. Now we can say, I don't need to lie. I don't need to cheat. I don't need to steal. I need to be walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ. I don't need to commit adultery. We begin to judge properly our lives in this world. We begin to know how to raise our family in a godly environment. Or we begin to make those decisions that we need to make based on the Word of God. We properly discern all things. We properly judge all things. We put everything in perspective. Because we're coming out of a divine viewpoint, not a human viewpoint. Our whole life is built around the divine viewpoint. Because God begins to renew our mind. He begins to change our thinking. Now, this doesn't happen overnight. It's like the more we take in the Word of God, the more the Word of God overtakes us. I've had people, well, recently, my nephew said, Uncle Dick, I feel like God is leading me to the Dominican Republic as a missionary. And my mind went, what? Jason, I love you. That's the worst possible place on the planet you could go. That's right across from Haiti. Don't you know that? That's what my human mind is saying. But Jason said, I got to go. I got to go. And not only me, but I'm taking my family with me. I'm saying, what? Hold it. He's plugged in to another world. He's getting some messages from someplace else. He's plugged into the mind of God. And the mind of God is channeling his life because he hasn't ceased to grow and be transformed. And he feels like, I want to give my life to God to serve him. It's worth it. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Here's what that means. Unbelievers cannot understand us. They can't put us in their test tube and test us and make it all work for them. They don't know us. We do some things that to them are just totally weird. Listen, they do not understand us. And here's the major reason they do not understand us. Watch this in verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? What one of us can teach God anything? We think we can, don't we? Or can't we think we can do that? We can't teach God. He teaches us. We don't instruct him, he instructs us. But then he says simply at the end, but we have the mind of Christ. There you have it, folks. The simplest believer in this room. I mean the most uneducated, simplest believer here. The most unintellectual, simplest believer here. The most low on the IQ totem pole. Worldly speaking, we have the mind of Christ. That to me blows me away. Those of us who have been regenerated, we have the mind of Christ. Those of us who have been properly taught from the Word of God, we have the mind of Christ. We have renewed our minds. If you never have, would you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Would you believe in Him? He loves you. Would you do it? Father, would you impress upon us the words, eye has never seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the mind of man the things which you have prepared for those who love you. But you have revealed them to us through your word, taught to us by God the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We can understand the mind of Christ. We can understand the mind of the living God through the pages of Scripture. And we can begin to make our life's choices based upon that truth. We can choose the one that we're to marry, Father, based on the truth of the Word of God. We can choose where we're going to live and how we're going to live based on the teaching of the Word of God. We can begin to make those life's choices that are your mind, that is your wisdom. Father, I pray that we would do that. I pray that you would begin to reprogram our computers, those of us who know you, that we would bathe ourselves with the teaching of Scripture, that every time the Word of God is taught, that we would be there and attempt to understand what is being taught. And ultimately, Father, I pray that we would become doers of the word. Not merely content to sit and listen to a sermon, but allow the word to transform us, to change who we are. But Father, it can't even begin to change those of us who do not know you, who have never been born again, who have never been regenerated, who still have dead human spirits. We cannot know you. We do not have the capacity to understand you. So would you make us alive by giving us the faith necessary to place in Christ? Thank you for our time. In Jesus' name, amen.